A few days ago, Josh mentioned the power of looking back at the faithfulness of God in your life to give you strength for what's ahead. There's a great illustration of this in the Old Testament of the Bible in Joshua chapter 4. After God had delivered them out of slavery in Egypt and parted the Red Sea, the Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and they were finally about to cross into the Promised Land. What stood between the millions of people and this land was a raging Jordan River. It's estimated that the Jordan River at this time could have been as wide as 100 feet and as deep as 10 feet. So you can imagine trying to cross with children, animals, and belongings was pretty much impossible.
On this hike through the Grand Canyon, they've created a great trail with many bridges crossing back and forth over the Bright Angel Creek and the Colorado River. The hike would have been near impossible without someone creating these bridges to make a clear path for us to walk. So I can imagine how daunting it was for the Israelites to come up on this river, knowing their destination was right on the other side. Well, the story continues, and once again, God makes a path for them by parting the waters. The priests carrying God's presence in the Ark of the Covenant are instructed to step into the waters. And as they do, the river stops flowing, and the Israelites walk through on dry land. And what we want to focus on today is what the Israelites did after God had miraculously and faithfully brought them through. In Joshua 4, starting at verse 4, it says, "So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever."
What a cool picture we see in these verses. They went right into the middle of a dried up Jordan River and picked up 12 rocks. If you can picture it, there's a big difference between stones found on the dry ground and stones that have been at the bottom of a flowing river for years. In the Grand Canyon, the rocks and cliffs above us are sharp and jagged, but the rocks in the bottom of the river have been all smoothed out. So for generations to come, the Israelites would have seen this pile of smooth rocks on the dry ground, and it would have been an immediate reminder about the time God saw them through. They were able to picture these same rocks at the bottom of that 100-foot-wide, 10-foot-deep river, and it would remind them that their God could do anything. So as we start this day in worship, let's do the same. Let's build an altar as the Israelites did, this time as a memorial looking back at God's power and faithfulness. Build an altar in your heart, remembering the times he's seen you through. He's a God who parted the Red Sea and the Jordan. He's the same God who shut the mouths of lions, who was there in the fiery furnace, who slayed Goliath, who opened blind eyes and made the lame walk. He's the same God who breathed stars into existence, but also sent his son to become a man and die for us. He's the same God who holds the universe in his hands, but he also allowed those same hands to have nails driven through them so that he could have a personal relationship with you. He hasn't changed and he never will. In worship right now, call on the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Allow his power and faithfulness in the past to give you faith for your current and future circumstances.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures the generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness, Lord.
Great friend of ours, Derry Northrup. After seminary and 8 years as a youth pastor, Derry and his family headed to the other side of the Rockies to lead a church with a 65-year history. That church was the foundation of the current three-campus Timberline Church serving Northern Colorado today. As senior pastor, Derry has a special passion for connecting with the community and reaching others in love. Derry has been an influential leader in Northern Colorado and beyond for many years, so I can't wait for you to get to hear from him today.
What does it mean to be halfway? You are now at mile marker 12. Congratulations. It is really an accomplishment. There are many sports that have like a halftime. What is halftime? I remember playing football in high school. I always looked forward to halftime, especially if we were winning. It was a time to rest, but it was also a time to reflect. I remember the coaches coming in and talking to us about what had happened in the first half and how we needed to change some things and learn some things and have we learned. And they talked about what that team was doing to try to beat us and how we could be stronger than them in these areas of our game. It was also a time to be determined. There was always a pep talk at the end, like, let's go get them. It's halftime and we've got another half, especially if we were losing. We were usually told why we were losing. And so much of the time, I remember that it was about a mental something, determination, believing we can win, doing our best, striving for more. All of that happens at halftime. Life has a halftime. The problem with the life halftime is that we just don't know when it is. We don't know when it's going to happen. I never dreamed I would have this many years on this earth, but I still don't know when my halftime mark was or is. My wife Bonnie and I built a house. It was really fun. And I remember the time when our builder came to us and said, "We're about halfway there." The foundation was in, the exterior walls had gone up. They even had the siding on. As a matter of fact, we thought they were way beyond halfway because you could fully see the structure of the house. Sometimes that's how life is. We build our lives and we feel like our foundation is solid, the exterior looks good, but there's still a lot of work to do on the inside. And that's what Altar in the Valley is really about. It's about learning to trust God when things aren't so good, when things are challenging, when we mess up, when things happen in this life that are unexpected. I still remember watching that house when they came down to the final week or two and the carpet is in, the hardwood floors are done, the cabinets are set, and the painter starts. Wow, now we have a house. Today is all about halftime in your journey. Are you weary? Are you proud you are this far? I will tell you, it's just as far to finish as it is to go back. So finishing is a good choice. Facing what is ahead. My wife Bonnie and I have faced many challenges in our marriage, in our lives. And one of those was in Grand Junction, Colorado. I was a youth pastor at a church and we had one child, a son. Things were going great. We were like the happiest family on the planet. Here we were, happily married. We had our first boy, our first child, and life was good. We got pregnant again, so we were very excited. The kids would be close. It's everything we wanted. And then the miscarriage. We did not expect this, never signed up for this. We'd never been through anything like this. We lost the baby. It's still a time of grieving. I think these are the kinds of things when you don't just get over it, you don't just move on. It becomes part of you. It becomes part of your future. It becomes part of your memory. It's part of the halftime. It's part of what you will reflect on. And we knew that, and we dealt with that. Well, it was exciting because we got pregnant again. And a little worried this time, hoping that that wouldn't happen again. That's the problem. When you have something in the past that has happened, your mind keeps bringing it up and we worried. I would ask, what are your worries today? What are the challenges you feel because of your past? Let's bring those to the altar as well. Our son Ryan, who was like 2 years old, almost two, he got the chicken pox during her pregnancy. We were very afraid that Bonnie, my wife, may get them. She had never had them in her life, and some of her family members, her siblings, had chicken pox when she was born, and so the doctor said, well, maybe she was naturally immune while she was in the womb. But she got the chicken pox. Actually pretty bad. We were scared because the risks were real, and this became the valley for us. The doctor said there was a real risk. This child could be born with limbs that did not function. Limbs like arms that would not develop. We may have a child with a partial hand with no arm in between the shoulder and the hand. They would usually recommend terminating the pregnancy. But we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. Were we afraid? Yes, we were. Scared to death. A young couple with one son trying to have another baby. It was terrifying. We didn't know for sure what to do other than just trusting God. You know, whatever you're facing today, whatever your valley is, trusting God isn't your last option. It's your best option. I asked Bonnie if she felt like God was in control, and she said, yes. We wondered how God was going to bring this about, and we had a conversation that was way deeper than anything I wanted to have. And it went like this. Do you think God might be trusting us with a child who has disabilities? A child that may live with us the rest of our lives, never marry, never move out, never develop fully. Is God going to trust us with a child like that? See, I know my wife Bonnie, she would be awesome. She's a caregiver. She's a people lover. I was worried about me. I really wanted our kids to be healthy in the way that I was picturing healthy. I did not want to go through this experience. And that started the journey of surrender. The greatest thing you can do in the valley is to surrender. It might be the only thing you can do. We agreed together, we prayed, we talked it through, and we both said to God, we are willing to trust you no matter what the result. And believe me, that wasn't that easy. There was much concern, much prayer. It was a release to trust. A couple months later, in the pregnancy, Bonnie had a dream. She said, "Derry, last night I dreamed that we had a perfectly healthy baby girl." Now, this was a day and age before ultrasounds and all the things they do. They had the capability, but it was really expensive and certainly out of our range. So we wouldn't know until birth what kind of child would be born. Would it be a boy? Would it be a girl? Would there be disabilities? We just didn't know until that child came out of the womb. That child was born. As the dream suggested to Bonnie, it was a healthy little girl with no side effects and no disabilities. I remember standing in the crowd years later on the sidelines of an LA marathon. Our daughter was running in that marathon. I remember mile marker 18. When that same little girl who was in the womb and we were worried and we gave her to God, as she ran by, as she was just a few miles away from finishing her first marathon, tears filled my eyes as I remembered what might have been, what could have been, and I was thankful for the hand of God in our lives. Whatever you're facing today, whatever your worry is, whatever you fear at the halfway point, will you finish this race? Bring your pain, your suffering, your hurt and heartache, and lay it at the altar. God has a plan. Whether the outcome is what you want or what He wants, it will be the outcome that you can trust Him for. Will you make a decision today to keep going all the way through the valley?
I love how Derry said, trusting God isn't your last option, it's your best option. Let's focus our attention on that truth and take a moment now to pray and surrender ourselves before God, for He is trustworthy.
God, we do put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. We thank you that you are trustworthy. Amen. Well, like Derry said, we are halfway through the Altar in the Valley experience. This next half, I believe that God has some amazing things for you. So I encourage you to keep going and let's finish this thing strong. We'll see you tomorrow for day number 13 in the start of the second half.